Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of November, recording at 8:42 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, it's been a very good week. Markets had been consolidating in ranges, and that was the case at the beginning of this week. But some were starting to break up out of those ranges, not least the South American and Asian leaders. And pretty much every other stock market that had been consolidating near its April highs has managed to break out to the upside as well. So strong action overall. And today, interesting, because Wall Street, which was mostly a wee bit underwater, but closed with modest gains on the day, on top of that big advance yesterday. Europe was quiet. Long-dated government bond prices, they've mostly ranged, but often with a downward bias. More on that, more on everything later, but it's an interesting sector. In terms of currencies, the dollar was weak following Bernanke's speech. Remember, the dollar was range-bound. It had seen a little modest technical rally in the previous few weeks. But the underpinnings, the lows rather held, did not hold. The lows within those little ranges did not hold following Bernanke's announcement. But the downward break has not always been maintained. For instance, we've seen a decent rally here against the euro today. So the dollar index, which is over 50% euro, has not maintained yesterday's downward break. Now, but other currencies still very strong at the dollar, with the Aussie currency, for instance, up above parity. And sterling has held quite steady here overall. It's down today, but it's still at 160.183. Precious metals have had a barnstorming week, particularly yesterday. But we've got gains again here today in all the precious metals. We'd seen some profit-taking earlier on, but gold is trading after hours at 1394, and platinum's at 1769. Palladium pushed backed off 700, but it's still at 684.60. And silver barnstorming here at 2675. And copper, also very strong overall, 395.30. And the industrial metals are generally good week, as did most of the agricultural commodities. Wheat strengthened in here today in the grain and bean complex. So did soybeans. Corn was down a couple of cents today, but it's hovering near its range highs. Crude oil has been very strong this week, 87.07. So cotton has just gone haywire, and sugar has been strong. And so a lot of strength across the boards in the commodity markets. An exception I notice, and one that I'm glad that I sold early on in the week, is lumber. Down another six today, falling back to 277. Okay. So What's the big picture long-term outlook here overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, the first point to mention is that monetary conditions remain favorable. And as I've said so often, monetary factors trump most other factors most of the time. Now, there is a shift gradually taking place. We know that QE, quantitative easing, has been a big influence, creating a lot of liquidity, and that's boosted markets. But we know that central banks are reining that in, although not the Fed and not the Bank of Japan, presumably, although they're saying less about what they're doing. But I would be very surprised if they were not involved in. Well, they did announce quantitative easing not that long ago, but I would be very surprised if they didn't step it up. Such as the strength of the yen and the weakness of the economy overall, and the ongoing deflation in Japan. But I don't want to stray too much from the point here. Monetary conditions are basically still favorable for stock markets. In the high-growth economies where interest rates have been edging upwards, they still remain negative. In other words, below the rates of inflation in those countries. Central banks in that region might well like to raise interest rates further, but they don't want their currencies driven too high. Now, overall, fuller money themes are still very much to the fore. And just to run through those are the Asian emerging, I prefer to say progressing markets, and China predictably is making a good late run now as the big initial and secondary public offerings. Well, they're not completely over. I saw Hong Kong announcing another $28 billion US dollars worth of issues coming up later this month. So there is still supply, but it's not as heavy as it was from that July period and on through of 2009, really August, I should say, August 2009, right on through October of this year. So that's those are very much lead fuller money themes, but we also very much like, did I mention the resources markets led by the South American and Central American economies, and the developed resources producers are also quite firm, Australia and Canada. We like information technology, that remains an important fuller money theme. So does energy. Really, the commodity sector in general. Remains a fuller money theme. We as as do high yielders. Really, any companies that have a good solid track record of raising dividends, and especially those that are leveraged to the global economy. Those companies, I think, remain really quite attractive. Do we like banks? Not in the West. Do we like domestic companies in the United States? No. Well, there are lots of things we don't like, but let me focus on what we do like, as I've just outlined in those fuller money themes. Okay. Now, what will these stock markets do? Because they've been on a roll recently. I do have some concerns about accelerating trends, where we have seen markets pull well up and away from their rising 200-day moving averages. Now, that does suggest that sometime within the medium term, we will see a correction, and the higher markets go before that actually occurs, the bigger that correction is likely to be. But the breaks above the April highs are bringing in new money. There have been a lot of people who have been really quite negative about stock market potential, and that's a source of supply. Then there's a great deal of money in long-dated government bonds and also in corporate bonds, and I think some of those investors are reassessing those positions, particularly as it looks less and less likely that the US will experience a double-dip recession, and the euro area is not falling apart, although the sovereign debt issues in Southern Europe and Ireland are still significant problems and will remain so for a good many years yet, in all probability, sadly. But the point is that equities look attractive in this environment overall. And while valuations are certainly not the bargains that they were in the fourth quarter of 2008 or in the fourth quarter of 2009, they are not so steamy that we have to really be worried about a major setback in global stock markets. And therefore, my feeling is that reactions and quite probably a correction, whether that happens during the remainder of the year, I would say probably not in terms of a correction, but will it occur late in the first quarter or by the second quarter? Well, I think by the second quarter we certainly will have seen it if it hasn't occurred earlier, second quarter of next year, of course. But at this stage, I'm really of the view that we're unlikely to see more than a mean reversion correction. And that's not all that frightening a prospect, because that means that the overall upward trends are likely to remain intact where they exist, and most stock markets are in these overall upward trends, and we ignore the ones that aren't. I'm not interested in buying Greek equities, for instance, however worthy some of them may actually seem. In the global beauty contest, I'll stick with Fuller Money Themes. And some valuations are still quite reasonable. China's, for instance, I've been mentioning this for really quite some time. The market wasn't performing. We know why, because of the supply issue. But they are performing now, and the key reason for that is that there's less supply. Another Asian market that I like long term, but it's been in the doghouse because of a devaluation policy, is the frontier market, Vietnam. Now, I have a very small stake in Vietnam, in the family funds. I'm not increasing it at this stage, but I'm keeping an eye on it. I look at it almost every day because it'll do absolutely nothing. It'll disappoint for months, sometimes years, in an extended base formation, and then when it does go, it'll go up 400 or 500%. That's the what usually happens with these frontier markets. So it's very much one for the future. And my point in mentioning that is that there are still some pretty good valuations around, and some of the high yielders are still on quite attractive multiples. So I think we're fair set for a good run through the end of the year and into the first quarter of 2011. Now, if I'm wrong, or whether because I've just missed the point on events, or whether it's just gravity, or there's some exogenous shock, what would indicate a real deterioration in momentum. And we've had a momentum move going since at least the beginning of September. But if I'm wrong, watch those small trading ranges, the reaction lows within the small trading ranges that we have just completed. Because if they're taken out, that would indicate upside failures and alter the consistency of the good, very good short-term trend, uptrend that we're still in. In terms of knowns that could be concerns, were the dollar to slump from current levels, that would be a worry. And other factors, if we get parabolic acceleration in any of these stock market trends, I mean, we have seen certainly seen some acceleration, but it not mania stuff. But if we were to see that, that would be a greater concern. And that's pretty much it. There are always other factors rumbling along, the U.S. property market situation, and so on. But these are known. Same thing with the Southern European debt crisis. So what I think will be the biggest problem over the long term, I think it'll be higher interest rates at some point, but that's not an immediate threat of any great consequence. And before we get rates sufficiently high to choke off this very good resuming cyclical bull market, before we get rates eventually choking it off, I think we will see a shift of money, a greater shift of money out of bonds and into equities. So I very much want to take advantage of that. Now, what about bonds? Well, I certainly don't like the long-dated government bonds. They have been very good performers up until recently, with the help of quantitative easing and all the fear of double-dip recession in the USA and all the talk of depression. But the quantitative easing is not as prevalent as it was. A table that I posted yesterday, or was it the day before? I think it was on Wednesday. But showed that the Fed is going to be putting very little of the latest QE2 funds into long-dated issues. I think the figure was 4%, and that's not much. So I think that the recent weakness that we have seen in long-dated government bond futures in many markets, that's really the US, Canada, Australia, bunds, gilts. I think those bond futures prices are in top development stages. And therefore, I'm playing that from the short side. I'm concentrating on the US Treasuries. And I'll be playing that on a baby steps basis, as I wrote yesterday, and again in here today. In other words, I sell the futures lightly on rallies and take some profits on the dips, because we're getting plenty of ranging, as is normal during a transition phase, a top building phase, in other words. So I'm also saying that we're getting bottoming activity in the long-dated government bonds. And I think I said yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm opening and running short positions, trading from the short side in those US treasuries for the next, I said, for the rest of my life. And I hope to live a good long time. So I think this is a major, major trend. We're w witnessing the end of a 30-year bull cycle in long-dated government bonds. It was a cycle that looked like it was ending several years ago, but then got one more glory shot due to the economic turmoil that we saw in 2008, early 2009. So I'm very much a bear of that sector. What about the corporate bonds? Well, I don't like any of the junk bonds, although people are probably unlikely to come to any major harm there soon, as long as growth is gradually improving. But I think there's limited potential there, and investors are up to the eyeballs because they need the yield. I would much rather have the yield in multinational companies leveraged to the global economy that have a proven record of dividend increases. And there are still some pretty good yields out there. What about the commodity markets? Well, the demand is high for the industrial commodities. And as the Western economies gradually improve, I think that demand can really only increase. I think this is still a super cycle, and people derided that view following the 2008 crash. But I said all along that it would be punctuated by recessions. But here we have the continuous commodity market index, which is the best one, I feel, because it contains more commodities than any of the other indices, and it's unweighted. But that's really very close to its highs that we had seen in 2008. And so this is very much bull market territory in my view. And that actually, I forgot to mention that when I was talking about my stock market review. I knew I had missed something out. A concern that I have, which would be related to interest rates, is commodity price inflation. If commodities move up too quickly, it will certainly bring on a correction, at least in stock markets. I'll stop at saying a correction. If we were to see dramatic additional spikes in the agricultural commodities, particularly the grain and bean complex, rough rice, if we were to see, worst of all, if we were to see a spike in the crude oil price, that would be a problem. Hopefully that won't be happening, but the charts suggest to me that all those commodities will be moving higher over the next few months. And therefore I want to be positioned long, and I am. I'm at the moment playing that. I have corn, which is doing quite well. I have wheat, which has not been doing so well, but it looks to me like it's consolidating in a pattern that we refer to at the chart seminar as the first step above the base. In other words, I think it's a lengthy consolidation and will go higher. And I have palladium and platinum. I have chosen to play those two at this stage of the cycle rather than to have all four as I've often done in the past. I find if I have too many different positions, it's not quite so easy to keep my eye on the ball in terms of trading tactics in those markets. But really, with commodities in recent months, all you needed was a dartboard with the names on them, and heave the dart, and anywhere it hit, you were going to make money. Now, that environment is still exists. So it's just a matter of then Winnowing out the ones that have contangos that are too big or that are too hard to deal in, or the spreads are too big. But the overall commodity sector certainly looks to me as if it's going to go higher, and that means we're going to get commodity price inflation. Now let's connect some of the dots here. Commodity price inflation is bad news for bond markets. So the higher commodities go, the more profitable that will be in the short to medium term for people who have long positions there, and it will improve or bring forward a profitable run in the long-dated government bond futures, where we're holding short positions. Eventually, it would weigh on stock markets, but that would come later. So that's very much the picture as I see it. Now, what about these currencies? I maintain that Japan really does need to weaken its yen. It's been very ineffectual so far in doing it. I think they may shun the publicity of a big intervention, and I suspect they're doing it rather quietly. But I also suspect that it's a multi-prong policy, printing yen, so their quantitative easing, I suspect, is going to continue, and then a little bit of actual market intervention. But I'm a stale bear. In other words, I'm short the yen against the US dollar, and it's been costing me money, but I'm stubborn on this one, and I financed it so far, and will continue to do so. Now, my other trades, fortunately, have been much more technically disciplined and are in profit. But going back to the currencies, the other currencies, the dollar does remain soft overall. There's no interest rate. We do have the quantitative easing. We don't have the kind of global scare that would cause people to view the dollar as a haven. So it's unlikely to see more than periodic bouts of short covering, in my view. I've never been of the school that the dollar will collapse, but if one had to script, produce a script as to why the dollar might collapse, you wouldn't be scratching your head too long. They keep printing it at tremendous levels. The Bain factor that is, I think, preventing the dollar from slumping is that it's not in the interests of other central banks to see that actually occur. That doesn't mean that it won't happen at some stage, but I still view it as an outside chance. But it is an area of potential risk. We do need to watch that closely. If the dollar is just drifting, ranging around, then that's no big deal. But if the dollar starts to become front page news item because it's falling out of bed, then that would quickly take on a whiff of crisis, and we would have to be careful in other markets, not least equities. If equities were on a high as they are in here today. But all said and done, I'm more optimistic. I remain more optimistic than fearful in this overall environment, and feel it's one where we can remain really quite active. And that's exactly what I'm doing, running my equity portfolio. I haven't taken any money off the table, although I did shift some out of higher performing positions into what were lagging catch-up candidates like the uranium. uranium sector, which I think is very attractive on a medium to longer term basis. So there's lots going for us. And all we have to do is respect what we see on the charts, not tell markets what to do, use our monetary discipline. That's what I aim to do, and I'm sure you will as well. Meanwhile, all the best. Have a great weekend.